truly are thankful to have you here today, all together to worship our Lord and our God. It's good to have Alan and Susan back. I love some of the old songs that we sing, like When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. But it seems a little strange that a guy from Nazareth, Pennsylvania, will be saying up yonder. I guess we have him converted to Texas. It was the end of the year, and some of the members of a small country church made some relatively large end-of-the-year contributions. The contributions for that Sunday were posted on a board, as many congregations do, and they far exceeded the budget for that week. And there was a young girl who was visiting that Church of Christ and noticed the liberal giving for that day. And when she walked by the preacher at the end of the services, she told him, "Well, I'm glad that the people gave so much today. Maybe you can buy a piano now." The issue of instrumental music in worship to God is not a financial issue for churches of Christ. It is a spiritual and doctrinal issue based on the teachings of the New Testament. Last week, we looked at this issue from several different perspectives. The first was the Old Testament perspective. We noticed that instrumental music was used in worship of the Jews in the Old Testament. And in that setting, it was not an innovation of man, but it was authorized by the Lord himself, as noted in 2 Chronicles Chapter 29, verse 25 through 28. But since the Old Testament laws were nailed to the cross with Christ, Colossians 2, verses 13 through 14, and we cannot use the Old Testament for our authority in New Testament worship. If we do, then we are obligated to bind all of the Old Testament laws, and we have fallen from grace, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. We cannot pick and choose just some laws that we might want to follow from the Old Testament and bring those in. If we're going to do that, we have to follow all of the Old Testament law. And then we looked at the Reformation perspective. Instrumental music was introduced in the Catholic Church in 666 AD. And it was not widely accepted among even Catholic churches until the 11th century. Many famous Protestant Reformation leaders adamantly opposed the use of instrumental music in church worship. And then we talked about the silence of Scripture perspective. It's long been argued that the non-use of instrumental music is an argument from the silence of Scripture. In other words, the Bible does not say that you cannot use instruments of music. The Bible doesn't say a number of things that we could not use, or the Bible would be voluminous and we could not even read it. But the Bible tells us what we are to do and what we are not to do. But the only music commanded in connection with the worship of the New Testament church is vocal music or singing. I cited last week 9 verses where the word or words sing is used in the New Testament. There are several different words that are used. And this is anything but an argument of silence. Rather, it is an argument of the authority of God. God provided us with specific commands. command to sing in our worship to him. It is not a generic command. As I stated last week, if it had said just make music, then we could have made music in any way that we choose. But instead, he said that we are to sing. Since the Lord authorized the use of instrumental music in the Old Testament, along with singing, and he specified singing in the New Testament, then God made a definite distinction in the two covenants. And Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Yes, I got the right one there, okay. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Making melody is from the Greek word solo. It is argued that this word inherently involves the use of instruments of music. We know that many of our words in the English language have undergone changes in meaning over the years. And the same certainly was true with the Greek word solo. It's meant a number of different things through those years. Let me back up there. All right. To pluck the hair, to twang the bowstring, to twitch a carpenter's line, to touch the chords of a musical instrument. But in the first century, it carried the meaning to touch the chords of the human heart, to sing, to celebrate with human praise. Inherently, the word itself means to touch or to pluck. Now, the context in which the word is used certainly has a bearing on its meaning. In this context, Paul states that you are to engage in singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The music that is to be made is not on instruments, but it is in the heart. And certainly, I guess you could say it another way. I guess you could say if it is instruments, the instruments that are to be used is the heart as well as the voice, but not instruments of music. Certainly, this letter was written to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So this was written to Christians and to tell them how they were to use music in worship to God. If the use of instrumental music was inherent in the Greek word solo, then playing an instrument of music would not be optional. It would be commanded. Paul's command starts out with the words speaking to one another. The word speaking is the word laleo in the Greek. It means to talk, to utter words, and so it is speaking to one another. It is understandable, certainly, if it refers to vocal singing, but it is not understandable if it refers to the playing of instruments of music. We are to speak to one another in our singing. The word sing, another word that is used in the New Testament, the word auto, is understood to mean that individual Christians are commanded to sing in their praise and worship to God. And this means that every Christian is to sing. I've heard some people say, well, I don't sing because I have a terrible voice. Well, that's not what the scripture says. No matter what your voice may sound like, we have a commandment that we are to sing. Every one of us who are Christians are commanded to sing. God is more concerned about the praise that comes from one's heart than how one sounds when he sings. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, notice, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So notice again there in verse 16, it says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Our singing is not just praise unto God. It is that, but that's not the only thing. We are encouraging each other. We are teaching each other. We are admonishing one another when we sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs unto God. Now again, and notice this please, if the use of instrumental music was inherent in the word solo, it would mean that every Christian is commanded to play an instrument of music in worship and praise to God. Not just be one piano or one musical instrument, it would be every Christian would be commanded to play an instrument. And certainly that word solo, it's not inherent in that word. Then there are some who say, well, according to the book of Revelation, there will be harps in heaven. It must be understood that the book of Revelation is an apocalyptic book. The Greek word apokalypsis means a revelation or a disclosure. It is a type of Jewish or early Christian writing containing visions or revelations. It would include such books as Ezekiel and Daniel, and Joel, and Revelation, and even in Matthew 24, there's certainly some apocalyptic language that is used there. This type of writing contains visions and revelations, and apocalyptic books contain a great deal of symbolism. And the context must determine whether the writing is to be understood as literal or symbolic. There are some things in the book of Revelation, particularly in the first three chapters, that probably is to be taken a little more literally than the remainder of the book. The book of Revelation is lined with symbolism, such as 144,000, streets of gold, dragon, many other things that is used in the book. Let's look at two references to harps in the book of Revelation. The first is in Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Surely we are not to understand that there is to be a literal lamb in heaven with seven horns and seven eyes. This is symbolic of Jesus Christ himself. The number seven symbolizes perfection. Will there be four living creatures in heaven, as was described here? Does this verse authorize the use of incense in heaven and therefore in the church? And John stated that the symbolism is that the golden bowls of incense represented the prayers of the saints. So he told us what that symbolism was as far as the golden bowls of incense. So again, you'd say, well, you can't just pull out one thing and decide this is what I want to do when all of the other things are symbols. Notice again from the book of Revelation. I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sounds of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. John used many symbols in this particular passage. Again, the Lamb was equivalent to Christ. Mount Zion represented the church. The 144,000 represented the saved. As you can note on the board, you're 12, like the 12 tribes of Israel. You're 12, like the 12 apostles was a number that was used often to show completeness. And then 1,000 is also a number that shows completeness. That's where the 144,000 comes from. He also said that he heard a roaring sound from heaven like that of rushing waters. And the sound was like that of harpists playing their harps. Surely we don't believe that there will be literal harps in heaven any more than we believe that there will be a literal lamb with seven horns and seven eyes and the seven spirits of God. It would be dangerous indeed to formulate our doctrinal beliefs from apocalyptic literature. This type of literature might be used to verify doctrinal beliefs derived from non-apocalyptic writings. Almost couldn't say it. But neither our doctrine nor our souls should depend on symbolism for salvation issues. So why should we sing without instrument accompaniment in our worship to God? As we have discussed on numerous occasions, the New Testament instructs us to sing, to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. On no occasion in the New Testament are we instructed to use instrumental music in our worship to God. Last week, we again talked about instruments of music and worship are a relatively new innovation, introduced in 666 AD and not widely accepted until the 11th century. And we also discussed that there were many Protestant Reformation leaders adamantly opposed in its use of worship, and singing without musical accompaniment is the only safe and certain way of fulfilling the commandment of God. To do otherwise would be to add to God's specific command to sing. When God says that we are to do something and that is a specific command, then that eliminates all other things that we are to do. I hope this has been helpful in these two studies of sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. Certainly have not been so designed to cause one to become a member of the Lord's church unless this is an issue of some. But we pray that this has been instructional, helpful, and maybe you can study this issue on your own at home. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, We invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.